Welcome to the ABM Conversations Podcast, the number one podcast for B2B marketers wanting to explore timeless account-based marketing strategies to drive revenue, customer engagement, retention, and everything that makes sense to both marketers and sales folks. No more fluff. No more vanity metrics. Live from India, made for the world.
Hello and welcome to another brand new episode of the ABM Conversations podcast. And this is me, your host, Yag. In today's episode, we are going to discuss how to build a personal brand. And more importantly, we'll try and break the myths around personal branding. And if you're talking about personal branding, you better talk to a person who has done it really well and shown the world how to do it right. I'm super glad that we have Dennis Yu with us on the show today. In fact, the day we booked Dennis on the show, he sent me a pair of socks with a note that said, "I look forward to knocking your socks off about personal branding." I was like, "Oh, wow, this is how you do it." Dennis is the CEO of Blitzmetrics, a digital marketing company which partners with schools to train young adults. His mission is to provide education to students at no cost. He has been in leadership positions at Yahoo, at American Airlines, and has studied finance and economics at Southern Methodist University and London School of Economics. He has spoken across 17 countries, spanning 5 continents, and it includes keynotes at PubCon, Conversion Conference, Social Media Marketing World, Marketo Summit, you name it, and he's been there. He's featured on the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, NPR, TechCrunch, CNN, and the list goes on. And fun fact, Dennis has completed over 20 marathons, including a 70-mile ultra marathon. Dennis, with that, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Welcome, Yag. Always honored.
It's such a pleasure to have you today. All right, Dennis, let's get going. You know, off late, personal branding has had such a lot of bad rep, especially on platforms like LinkedIn, where it comes down to posting those lame one-liners trying to behave like a brand. But personal branding has not become that bad a word like influencer marketing. You know, very few people recognize or realize that a brand is a consequence of trust that you build over long periods of time with a specific kind of audience. So one of my quotes on this topic that I really love comes from Naval Ravikant, the CEO of AngelList. He says, productize yourself. So Dennis, let's start with this. Like, what is your definition of a personal brand? And more importantly, what is it not?
A personal brand is not what you say about yourself. It's not a logo. It's not a slogan from an ad agency. It is what other people say about you, which of course comes from trust right. and your reputation and what you've gotten done. And you can calculate your personal brand, just like you can calculate how much gas there is in your gas tank. Because your personal brand is the sum of all the positive and negative interactions you've had with employees, customers, colleagues, partners in the community. And the sum of all that is your personal brand, because that's what people have to say about you. And the more you develop that kind of reputation where you're well known around certain areas, the easier it is when you need something that your network will do the work for you. Now, the beauty is when you build your network, not because you're well-known or you're a keynote speaker, but when you've actually helped other people in a way that causes them to create referrals or talk about you, or because of your podcast, like what you're doing here, Yag, then people will trust you. And then anything you want to do is instantly 10 times easier.
Right.
Because of who you already know and because your reputation, your network does the work for you.
Right, right. Absolutely. Totally with you on that. And, you know, sometime back, we had Guy Kawasaki on the show. And one of the things that he said during the conversation that really stuck with me, very similar to what he said, is that he said, an evangelist is someone who focuses on the subject of what he or she is evangelizing and not trying to make himself or herself famous. You know, I absolutely love that. So what is your perspective? Rather, what, according to you, are some of the myths that people are currently having around personal branding? And if you can break that.
Because of the more well-known personal brands, it could be a Donald Trump or a Gary Vaynerchuk or other people who are outspoken, who have their cell phones out all the time. They're on social media. They're dancing. They're jumping on the latest thing. They're constantly seeking attention. Just because certain people, and I have no disrespect for any of these people that are well known that are very good at getting attention, by the way. That doesn't mean that any of us that do B2B, especially in software and enterprise, where we don't want to be this outspoken, constantly interviewing, show me on the private jet, now I'm meeting this other famous person, luxury lifestyle, limousines, right? That is the kind of the slightly more grown-up influencer, social media kind right. of person. So the myth is that you've got to constantly be out there. You have to be outgoing. You have to be giving away money. You have to be doing cheesy, unprofessional, stunt-like things. Absolutely not the case. I know Guy. I know Rand Fishkin. When he was still a kid, before he and his mom started SEO Moz, they absolutely weren't doing that. Do you see John Miller? I see he's been on your show. You see yeah. John Miller taking selfies on LinkedIn and whatnot? No. But you sure as heck know that John Miller's personal brand is strong because of his relationships, because he will publish articles that make you go, right? And maybe those only come once every couple of weeks. He's not taking pictures of his food, right? Because those guys are constantly trying to show who they are and trying to create FOMO in about how they, you know, it's a lot of consultants. It's a lot of solopreneurs. It's a lot of wannabe CEOs that are doing the look at me attention thing. But when we see people who are serious, you might look at a Warren Buffett, for example. That guy has a serious personal brand. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Do you see him on Snapchat?
No.
No. So it's really the high-powered pieces of content, the achievements that you have. I focus more on making amazing things happen than on trying to market who you are as a personality. And I think that's the key distinction. That's the key myth that people have about personal branding, is to think that they have to put their personality out there instead of put your knowledge and elevate other people like what you're doing. This is the smartest way to build a personal brand, which is what Yag is doing, because now he's associated with David Cancel and Yukai Chow and Guy Kawasaki and Rand and me and Scott Brinker. What does that say about Yag when everyone sees who he's with?
Right, right. Totally. It's totally different from the Kim Kardashian style of marketing. Right, right. Absolutely. And let's also switch to looking at personal branding from an outcome standpoint. You know, majority of our listeners here are B2B marketers and salespeople with at least about 5+ years of experience in fast-growing SaaS companies. So the classic statement that goes around in this world is that, you know, we want things to have happened yesterday. Not many people have the patience to, you know, let things compound over long periods of time. And yet, the most successful brands that we see are the ones that encourage every employee on their teams to build their own brands on platforms like LinkedIn. So talk to us a little bit about how do you go about building a personal brand? Like, do you have a framework for it?
Yes, it's called the topic wheel. And think of the topic wheel as an onion where you have three different layers that go all the way to the center. A lot of people, they are random in their building of the personal brand. They're random in the topics they decide to choose and become an expert in, and they're random in the connections that they make. Maybe they go to a conference and they meet this person and they meet this other random person, and here's an interesting session and here's an interesting blog post. And so when you have the intersection between your network and your knowledge, that creates an incredible personal brand, because those two reinforce each other. So think of the outside of this wheel as the network that you have. Who are the people that you know? Who are the people that you want to know? They could be employees, fellow coworkers, other partners, salespeople, people that you would like to have as a customer, and tie those back to six different topics. So maybe you want to be known for Kubernetes and Argo scaling, like my friend Mark Wagner, who founded Gantry. So he knows a lot as an engineer about how do you set up Argo CD and Prometheus, and other people that are SREs or they're in DevOps or GitOps, they would know what these different tools are.
Right.
Great programmer. But is he connected to the other people that are speaking at KubeCon? Does he know the other folks at Capital One who have the leading implementation of Kubernetes, which came from Google? Does he know some of the Google people? Is he hanging out with those Google people that created Kubernetes? Right? So he's got to have the knowledge and experience, and it has to tie to that particular network.
Right.
So we could take Mark again, and Mark grew up on the East Coast, and his dad is a scientist, which has create, that's another topic that he can talk about, like chemistry and biology. And he's got doctors in his network. So we've been interviewing doctors in the last 2 weeks. We've interviewed the top dentist, the top chiropractor, the top cosmetic surgeon, and the top in a couple other areas, because these are friends of ours, right? So he has the knowledge somewhat because of his background and his father, but he also has that kind of network.
Right.
So you can go topic by topic, and maybe only have one or two topics. If you're a salesperson at a particular company, you are supposed to go deep in a particular area in what your company does to be able to set up meetings. Maybe that's the AD, the account development representative. Maybe that is the SDR. Maybe you're the AE. Maybe you're the head of marketing. Maybe you generate leads. Whatever it is, you need to know something about the depth of your company to have these smart conversations that turn into leads and go into Salesforce and become deals. But what people don't know, which is the second part of personal branding, is you have to build that human connection. So for example, Dharmesh Shah, who is a co-founder of HubSpot, is a friend of mine. And we've hung out and spoken together at PubCon. We've had dinner together. And I know a few of his quirks just from hanging out with him. And that has nothing to do with marketing automation,
right?
I know Rand Fishkin and Geraldine and his mom, Jillian, live on the west side of Seattle, and they really like seafood. They really like supporting their daughter, who has an interesting art collection and creates this steampunk, right? She's into steampunk, so we'll do stuff for steampunk. And I'll create gifts around steampunk, and we'll go to a steampunk show, right? Well, before COVID. And that's another angle that we can build a connection that has nothing to do with SEO. Most people, they think of Rand Fishkin, they think of SEO, right, or being a founder or a speaker. But if you can get that other personal angle, it makes it all the more better. So if you look at me, people will think, okay, well, if I Google Dennis Yu, who do I see? Well, I see Facebook ads, digital marketing, the guy who built the analytics at Yahoo. So maybe we can talk about search engine engineer stuff, which is what I was. But wait, as you mentioned, Dennis also likes to eat food, especially chicken wings and all you can eat Korean barbecue, which I do a couple times a week. That's why I'm fat. Or Dennis also loves to go hiking. I did that yesterday, right? And so that's another angle that is not directly tied. So if you develop three areas of professional interest and three areas of personal interest, maybe we can look at my friend Daniel Goodrich, and he is a devout Mormon and he goes to the temple, and that is key to his faith and key to his belief. And he likes to share his mission. That's awesome, right? So build your topic wheel around six topics. And for each of those topics, choose people that are authoritative in that area and who you know, or you would like to know, or maybe they're one degree away from who you know. And we know with account-based marketing that you're zeroing in on just a few key relationships. So it's not just the fact you're trying to reach the CEO of some other big bank or some company who's, you know, this, that, and that CEO may be hard to reach because they're well-known, but who are the second degree connections? What are the interests that that person has? Can you reach their founders? Can you share content that they've created? Maybe they wrote an amazing blog post and you're engaging on that. You're following them on Twitter and LinkedIn and you're not stalking them. And you're not just being one of those sorts of people that, you know, makes these cold connection requests and then immediately says, hey, let's get on a 15-minute call.
Yes.
Don't do that, right? When you have a strong topic wheel, people will listen to you because they have to, because they see how many shared connections you have. They see that you're in some of the shared groups and you're able to leverage your personal interests and connections to make it less cold, even if it is cold. And the topic wheel you can think of is on the, you see, you've got spokes from the center. So the center's got the hub. The hub is you. It's your product. It's the service that you're selling. Whatever it is, people are buying from you. That's what personal branding is. They're buying from you. But they're buying because of your knowledge and your network. So one level out from the hub are the spokes. The spokes are those topics, six topics. Each of those topics terminates on the outside. Think of that as the tire in those connections. And we've built topic wheels for hundreds, if not thousands of people, and it works super well. And over time, you fill it out. Initially, you might have only a couple spokes and a few people that you know. But now that you have a topic wheel, any connection that you make, any piece of knowledge that you seek, anything that comes into your purview, Yog, and everyone else here, you think about, how does it fit in the topic wheel? And if it doesn't fit in my topic wheel, you have to ask, why am I wasting time on this?
Right.
It makes it so much easier to see immediately what's worth my time and not.
Right. I love this. You know, this is very similar to something that Tim Sulo said on our show very recently. He said that when he chooses his topics about, like, you know, when he goes about writing content, he doesn't think about what will drive the most traffic, but he thinks about what are the places that is more relevant to me and what are the topics that's most relevant where I can mention my product, like Ahrefs. And that way, I know that I'm talking very relevant to my audience and things around content and things around SEO. So I think that's very similar to what he just said. Am I right?
Yeah. And just to give you an example of that, Tim Sulu and I spoke at, I think it was a SEMrush. Yeah, it was a SEMrush event where they had a 24-hour marketing influencer thing. Yeah. And I think that was when he was still chief something officer at WeWork.
Oh, okay.
And after that, we had such a great time together. This is when we were actually physically in person, not this virtual Zoom kind of thing. We had such a good time together. He said, I can't believe I'm with Dennis Yu. I've always wanted to meet you for years. And dude, I'm just another dude like you, right? And we hit it off. And I happened to be back in SF a couple weeks later. And I said, hey, I saw that you're a Warriors fan. Would you like to go to a game?
Right.
He said, oh, man, I'd love to. So we went to a Golden State Warriors game. And because I had special access, I gave him a great experience because we had done the digital marketing for the Golden State Warriors for 5.5 years. Right. And introduced him to some other people.
Right.
And that created a connection that had nothing to do with the future of work, that had nothing to do with digital marketing or analytics or remarketing or the Facebook pixel or anything like that. And so you see, we had a connection on a professional front because we both are thinking about the workplace and the future of work and how things are changing. But at the same time, we connected personally because we're eating overpriced hot dogs at a Golden State Warriors basketball game. And then we're sharing that on social media. And then other people can see in my network, oh, Dennis is with Tim. I don't know who Tim is, but I know Dennis. I'm going to check out Tim. And then in Tim's network, they can see, oh, Dennis, or Tim is making videos with Dennis. I know Tim, but I don't know who Dennis is. But this Dennis guy must probably be worth looking at, so I'm going to check him out. But you see how that cross-pollinates.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I'm loving this entire conversation. You know, you're absolutely killing it, Dennis. And as Juliana said, you know, my friend Juliana from OmniConvert, I should have had you long back on the show and I'm probably a bit late.
You're too kind.
Right. So moving on, you have something called the 3x3 method, that is 3x3 method for content creation that bridges the gap between your personal brand and the company's brand.
Yes.
Now, that is of great interest to me. It sounds somewhat like, you know, finding your ikigai.
Yeah.
So would you mind expanding on that?
Yeah. Another way to look at it, people will say, like Simon Sinek, start with why. Because people buy because of who you are, because of relationship, right? Especially in ABM, people buy because of the trust of who it is, and they want to follow the other people in their industry. So if we think about this topic wheel, and it starts with those connections on the outside that moves into topics. And from topics, it moves into who you are, into your products and services. We can reframe that into the top, middle, and bottom of the funnel. So instead of the funnel being this triangle that's pointy on the bottom, think of it as the wheel where it's the outside, the middle, and the center. That's your funnel. You get all the way to the center. That's the bottom of the funnel, right? Like the bottom of, you know, the earth's like the bottom of a black hole, right? This gravity pull.
Right.
So when we think about the funnel, or, you know, think the earth's crust and the mantle and the core. Maybe that's like another way to look at it. The content that aligns with that is why, how, and what. So the why is like to start with why. It's who you are. It's about your family. It's about your values. And it's little stories that reflect the values. The story itself doesn't matter. So this is what we teach in the 1-minute video course. You could be waiting in line at Starbucks for your double vanilla latte. And maybe the woman in front of you was rude to you or something like that. Doesn't matter. Something happened. And I'll give you an example. I could say, yeah, the woman in front of me was rude to me and I was going to yell back at her. But then I realized that everyone's going through something in life and it's best to be kind because you never know the challenges that people face and it's not personal. I believe that you should treat people kindly and that there's opportunity for everybody. Right. So you take any kind of story, any kind of thing that happened and you tell the meaning of it. You extrapolate out to the bigger thing that happened. So Tim Saloo and I went to a Golden State Warriors game, and afterwards we got stuck on the Uber lot trying to find an Uber, and it was crazy and jammed, and I was late to my next meeting, and we were hungry. But then we realized, you know, let's enjoy our time together, right? This was meant to be,
right.
And you know, whatever it might be. And there's some, I mean, that's sort of a cheesy realization, but it could be anything. It could be right. that you completed your Series B funding. And what did that cause you to realize? It caused you to believe in your co-founder. It caused you to see that, you know, you need to please your investors, or like whatever it is that then bridges to what you know, right? And the second layer is a how. So how do you set up a Kubernetes cluster with Prometheus and Argo CD? Well, that requires someone from Gantry, or require, you know, like a Mark Wagner, to be able to do something like that. And so he can show how he's doing that. And think about anything that you know how to do that can be checklist driven, that showcases your knowledge. And it could be as simple as a 30-second tip. For example, I share a tip on how to do dollar a day. Boost it for a dollar a day for 7 days as a video that's vertical. And anything that has a through play that's less than 5 cents is probably a winner, and put more money against it. There's a tip. Right, I'm just sharing a piece of knowledge from my experience.
Right,
and then people look a little further and they see, oh, this guy spent $1 billion on Facebook using this particular technique over the last 14 years. Oh, okay, here are all the other people that have done the same thing. Maybe I'm going to buy the course, or I'm going to buy the software that does this. Right, so how do you do whatever it is, then leads to your what, which is now you have your product or service. Now you can talk about your product or service. But most people, they talk about their product or service, which is, think of as the core of the earth, but they don't have the how content, and the how, then they don't have the why content. So you've got to go from cold to warm to hot. So you got to go from why to how to what. And if you go straight from cold into selling, that's the kind of idiocy that we see that a lot of people are doing, especially with the software. There's so much software that allows people to spam, right? Which I really frown upon. I believe in old-fashioned building of connection. I still use lots of tools, you know, to build lists, to create content,
right,
to manage our teams, to edit videos, to do marketing automation, email sequences for podcasts and webinars and courses and all that. But the idea of the 3x3 is I've got at least 3 pieces of content that are why, 3 that are how, and 3 that are what. Why do I have 3? Because if I only make one, the odds of that one working is not very good. So I'd really like to have 10x10x10. You know, I'd like to have lots in each of these 3 layers. And when you do, you can remarket from the why to the how, and then remarket from the how to the what. And you can remarket across email, right? Because if people open one email, you send them another email, because that's what marketing automation does, instead of mass blasting everybody. You can remarket on Facebook. Anyone who watches this one video, show them the next video, show them a lead form. Anyone who comes to your website, you have your Google Tag Manager. So that universal container has your Facebook and Google and Twitter and LinkedIn and Quora pixels. Right, you have all your pixels that remarket. So the 3x3 allows you to market naturally down those different stages of know, like, and trust, which is top, middle, bottom of the funnel.
Right, absolutely. And it's about building trust over periods of time by, you know, initially talking about the whys, and then comes the how, and finally you talk about the product, and it doesn't start there. Mm-hmm. I love that. Right. So another key factor that I would love for you to touch upon or shed some light on is measuring outcomes from personal branding efforts. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you measure or attribute the impact of personal branding on a business outcome? Do you probably have a set of parameters that you would call your yardsticks?
It's funny because I'm an analytics person. And I was once in a meeting with the COO of Fox. And he and I were talking about their digital infrastructure and analytics and social media and all the different TV shows and movies that they have and how much money they should allocate to Twitter versus Facebook and whatnot. And in right. the middle of the meeting, all of a sudden Gary Vaynerchuk pops in. So it's me, David, and Gary. And I said, Gary, what are you doing here? He said, Dennis, what are you doing here? And I said, we're doing analytics, dude. This is not your meeting. What are you doing? And so David then said, oh, well, I actually wanted both of you guys here because we need to figure out a budget for next year. And what's the ROI of our social media, which is basically the ROI of personal branding at a larger scale. And Gary's right. answer was, what's the ROI of your mother? which is you don't measure the ROI of your personal brand.
Sounds very Gary.
Yeah. And of course, he does that to me sometimes, right? And then so I said, well, certainly there are longer term brand impacts, which is what Gary's getting at. But there are early indicators. There are leading indicators where you can see how well you're known, by who, how much engagement you have. Does it grow your email list? Do those emails eventually turn into leads? Maybe you speak at a conference that generates some leads. And so all of these things eventually lead towards getting more deals, growing more ARR for the business, getting a better retention, better conversion rate, higher LTV, all those metrics that you're looking for in your business. However, it is not to say I need 10,000 followers on Instagram to check that box, or I need a blue check mark, which I have on Facebook and Twitter and some other places. It's a continuum, right? So there are metrics at the top, middle, and bottom of the funnel. The further down you go in the funnel, the longer term those metrics are, but you absolutely can measure what that is. For example, last week I had a Clubhouse room. I do this room every Thursday evening, so there's another one tonight, and we were talking about something, and John Legere, who's the CEO of T-Mobile, came into my room. And I thought, wow, this is really cool. So I basically stopped the topic of discussion and I said, hey, it's John Legere, who's the CEO of T-Mobile. Welcome. So glad you're here. So we were doing some Q&A, and that built a connection because we have a lot of mutual friends in common. And if it wasn't for my personal brand, that can attract a reasonably big audience in personal branding and digital marketing and public speaking, he wouldn't have come into that room. Or it was because that maybe you start a podcast and you have John Miller and Scott Brinker and Rand Fishkin as you do, Yod. And because people, they see and hear that those folks are on the show, that then attracts other people, right? You know that having a Guy Kawasaki allows you to book more podcast guests, increases your hit rate, doesn't it, right? So in this case, for me on Clubhouse, I started out small. My first room had only, whatever, a couple people in it. And then I started getting well-known industry people. And then that drove other people. And then John Legere comes in, and Ty Lopez comes into my room, and Grant Cardone comes into my room. Grant Cardone came in last week, right? That was kind of cool. But I wouldn't have gotten Grant Cardone unless I had some B-list celebrities, and I wouldn't have gotten the B-list people unless I had some C-list level people. So that's what we call a real option. A real option is if you don't take the first step, you'll never be able to see that second or third step. It's just like driving through the fog, right? You have to have already gotten enough of a personal brand that then when that opportunity comes, it's available to you because people already know who you are. So you measure the ROI of your personal brand by looking at how advanced you are in these different stages of who knows who you are, not in a, you know, Jake Paul doing stunts for lots of YouTube views kind of way, but the people in the industry who really knows who you are. And a lot of people say, yeah, well, that's really hard to measure. No, it's easy. Go to your Google Analytics and look at how many people are searching for your name. And then of the people that search for your name, how many of them are in your email list? How many of them are customers? How many of them do you know? How many of them have downloaded your lead magnet? How many? You see what I'm saying? So there's a quantity and a qualitative aspect. People miss the qualitative aspect and they go straight for the quantity. They want a million followers on Twitter. Or they are the Gary Vaynerchuk mindset, which is you really can't measure personal brand power. No, you actually can. And they'll say it's purely about qualitative because one deal, one really good connection, especially in B2B where you're doing ABM where one customer can be worth millions. Who cares about, would you rather have one customer, one real customer who's worth millions, or 10,000 children in Pakistan that know who you are, right?
Right.
So it's not either or. There's a nuance here that people miss.
Right. So the counter question rather I would have here is that, when this happens, a lot of times the measurement of these kind of aspects tends to be a little more intuitive. For example, there might be a lot of people who might know me, who might go on to check my company's website. And when they go on to sign up a demo on Avoma, for example, what happens is there might be 10 people who might be booking from here. Yeah. But it's very hard for me to go back and say that, hey, these people who knew Yag got to know the company. And that's why they went on to go and sign up for the product.
They don't tell you. Well, sometimes they tell you, like you told me, the reason I'm on this podcast is because of Juliana, right? So that has something to do with my brand. So you can trace it back. But yeah, you absolutely can't. You, just because you can't see every single referral and every single connection doesn't mean that it's not measurable. It's only partially measurable. And let's say you can only see a tenth of it maybe. So maybe some people can see 20%, but I think you can see maybe a tenth of it, because 9 out of 10 times it's people that are talking in Starbucks, or they just happen to mention you in conversation, and you're just not aware that other people are talking about you, but they sure are.
Right.
Even if you're not doing monitoring, I guarantee you people are talking about you. Even if you're not a well-known figurehead, I guarantee you people are talking about you. Your girlfriend's talking about you. The people you play basketball with are talking about you. Everyone's talking about you, right? That's just how it is. And when you have that in place, you can measure you can look at things like CTR and lead conversion rate and sales qualified, marketing qualified to sales qualified, close won, all the different funnel metrics that advance along the way, because we know that in ABM, it takes many conversations to drive a deal, because an enterprise sale requires more than one decision maker. It's not just, you know, Amazon Prime one day shipping. I click on it and it comes tomorrow. There's decision making going on, right? There's evaluation, there's meetings, there's contracts, right? There's lots of stuff that happens there. And because of that, every single one of those points requires people to say, hey, we're thinking about buying this Kubernetes SaaS software from Mark Wagner at Gantry.cloud. Have you heard of them? Oh yeah, his co-founder is the lead SRE at Capital One. And I also know this guy who's the lead SRE at Airbnb, right? And he said, and I see pictures of him and Mark driving their motorcycles around San Francisco. Okay, well, it must be legit. So at every point along the way, people are saying, who is this guy? And then they go look on LinkedIn and they see how many connections you have. And they see what is the guy published. They go look at the website at every single point. So how many touches on average is there in an average ABM deal that's closed? 50? 60, something like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, every one of those touches causes other people to say, who are these people? And so it goes back to the personal brand. At every single stage, it goes back to the personal brand, doesn't it?
Absolutely, it does.
Even if you don't see it, I can guarantee you in 30 years of doing this, I guarantee you the personal brand is what moves you through the stages, not how good your landing page and copy and how good your ads are. I mean, those are good too. But ultimately, the decision-making in ABM is based on your personal brand, which is based on your experience. So if you see that we built the social ad campaigns for Marketo because John Miller hired us, and that was years ago.
Right.
Well, how did John Miller didn't know who the heck I was. It's because Jason Miller, who ran content marketing, was a good friend of mine, and he did it at Sony. And then when he moved from Sony into Marketo, he said, the first person I need to hire is Dennis Yu, because we know each other and we have a reputation and we have a lot of mutual friends. And so that's how we got into Marketo. Do you think it's because I had a really good outbound strategy with SDRs that were trying to book 15-minute phone calls and lots of emails and lots of software that looks up, people's IP addresses and finds that, does LinkedIn spamming? No, it was because of relationships that I built.
Relationship and trust.
Yeah. And so it's old fashioned. This whole personal branding thing has nothing to do with social media or digital.
Right. Absolutely. With you on this. All right. So that brings us to, that part of our podcast, which we call the rapid fire section. And now I'm going to shoot 5 pointed questions at you and try my best to put you on the spot. So are you ready for that?
Let's do it, Yag.
All right. So here's question number 1. Recently, you said those who pay you the most are the happiest and those who pay you the least complain the most. Would you mind expanding on that?
There are people, it's an offensive word, people call them freetards or entrepreneurs because you have founders that have no money, but they have big expectations. We call that champagne taste and beer budget. And the clients that are doing really well, they just need an extra 10%. On $100 million is $10 million, which is great. So they don't mind paying $500,000 to be able to get an extra, $10 or $20 million. But an extra 10% on a company that is making $10,000 a month, that's only $1,000. They're going to want everything for that, right? I'd rather do 10% on a company that's making $1 billion. And they're going to pay handsomely for that because they're already doing well. So the difference between starting a company versus scaling a company. And I'd like to work in situations where people are scaling companies.
Right. That makes total sense with you on that. All right. So here's question number 2. One of the reasons why personal branding has such a bad rep is because a lot of people equate perceived authority to fake it until you make it.
Yeah.
You know, so how would you define perceived authority?
There's perceived authority and there's actual authority. Actual authority is you can actually do the thing and you can witness it and they've demonstrated it, they've recorded it, there's a checklist, there's a recipe, step by step. Perceived authority is we think that they can do it because of who they are, because of who they know, because of who they're with, because of where they've spoken, because of them being in the news, and because of all of these other elements of the perception that they might be good. So if I put on a white lab coat, then maybe, Yag, I could fool you that I'm a doctor, right? Put on a white lab coat that says Dr. Dennis. That increases my perceived authority, doesn't it?
Yes.
But it doesn't increase my actual authority because I don't know anything. Right. If you give me a scalpel and I have all the latest equipment. So let's say you put me inside the surgery room, this operating room with all this fancy equipment. I'm wearing my white lab coat. And let's say we bring in the world's best doctors. Dr. Mark Page, who is one of the top eye doctors. Dr. Glenn Vo, who's the top dentist in the United States. And all of these doctors are in that room and I'm in that room and we're all friends together, then that massively increases the perceived authority. And let's say I'm in the American Journal of Medicine and it's quoting me about something that I said, maybe, right? Obviously not. I'm just making it up. Then that's massive perceived authority. So perceived authority, usually high perceived authority across multiple facets means high actual authority. And that's how people make decisions. So if you've ever had to go talk to a doctor, Yag, about maybe some kind of procedure you needed done, how do you know whether that doctor's any good? Because you're not a doctor, right? How would you know?
Yeah.
You look at all these other things that are, because the only way to detect actual authority is to be an expert and be able to evaluate whether they're actually good at what they're doing. Maybe you don't know how to fix a car. I don't know anything about fixing cars. I bring a car to the mechanic. It's at the dealership. There's perceived authority and because it's a dealership. So it's, you know, it's actually Toyota, it's actually BMW. So I figure if they're dealer certified, must be pretty legit, right? So everything with building personal brand is ultimately about increasing perceived authority, which then allows people to want to talk to you. By the way, perceived authority always precedes actual authority. For people who are buying, even if you have actual authority, like I was talking about Mark Wagner, who's really good as an SRE, but he is still building his perceived authority, right? You have people who are really good at something, but they don't have the perceived authority yet. So that's where personal branding bridges everything.
Amazing. That's the best definition that I've heard so far about this topic. You know, so far everybody is like, let's behave like that.
Let's take this conversation and make it a blog post on your site and I'll share it.
Absolutely. I'm going to do that. Yeah, I'll definitely do that. All right. So here's question number three. What is one biggest misunderstanding about branding that you would like to break today?
Branding is not social media or about what people are about being famous. It's about you delivering value and you're so amazing. People talk about you.
Amazing. Love that. You hit the bullseye. All right. So here's question number four. Something that you posted on LinkedIn and I was like, Dennis is my type. You know, you said, I'm no longer accepting friendship requests or connection requests from people who are talking about figures like, you know, six-figure launches, seven-figure incomes. It was a very powerful message. What made you post that?
Usually when I make a post like that, when I get on my soapbox, it's because I'm pissed off about something that happened. Then I have to make it a nicer kind of post. And it was these people that were selling courses on how to become a millionaire or how you can become a successful digital marketing agency or how you can drive leads online. And they have this special thing, but it's a secret. And you got to pay them $20,000 for access to this secret. And I think to my friends who are surgeons, and they never say secrets of heart surgery, you know. Or I have friends who are pilots. I had dinner with my friend, Tim McDonough. We worked together at American Airlines 25 years ago, and he's a pilot. And it's not like, well, Dennis, I have a secret to how to fly the airplane, but I can't tell you. You have to pay me $50,000 for the secret. There's no secret. It's all checklist driven. And whenever you see people that are trying to make it a secret, that's how you know they're trying to scam you because their aim is about money. They're saying that you can make more money if you have the secret. And of course, the way they make money is by selling the secret, not because they actually know how to do the thing. The secrets to how to trade on crypto and whatever. Yeah, they make more money selling their course on crypto than if they're good at crypto, why the heck would you tell, or they're good at trading stocks, why the hell would they tell you their recommendations? You should just go ahead and trade it and make lots and lots of money instead of getting your fee off of someone else's thing, buying your course. So that's why the whole, oh, seven, the secrets of seven-figure entrepreneurs. I raised eight figures, nine figures. And that's why I said, you know, it just figures. These people who are all about money, they're heartless. They're soulless. They're parasites. And you know what? There's a lot of people that make a lot of money, and good for you, right? I know a lot of people make a lot of money. So do you. But I find the people who are mission-driven, who actually care about other people, which I think is the hallmark of a real personal brand, is you care about other people, so they talk about you. Like Google my name and you'll see the people that are talking about me. Then that's more sustaining, because if you're interested in money, you will only work so hard at a certain point where if it's about money, look, people like me who are crazy about education, I'm a madman. No person who's trying to do it for the money is going to outwork me, because I am crazy.
But for a good reason, for a good cause, yeah. Right? So that's amazing. Right. And, you know, what I loved about what he just said is that I've always believed that it's mark of a charlatan who complicates simple stuff and mark of a genius who simplifies complex stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's why, you know, there's no big secrets. And there was a point where every time I went into Clubhouse, there was like so many rooms that spoke about these figures. And it really put me off of Clubhouse for a long time.
You know, the fastest way to become a millionaire? Yeah.
What is that?
Teach a course to teach other people how to sell courses and how to become a millionaire, coaching other millionaires. And this one woman, she came up to me and she had a course on how to make your first $1 million. And she wanted me to promote it using Facebook ads and other kinds of ads. And I looked at her stuff and clearly she had no idea what she was doing. And she said, how much, you know, I can afford $2,000 a month to start. And I said, yeah, well, you should probably take that course on how to become a millionaire, because my fee for you is $1 million. I can't believe you want to start with $1 million. Well, then go through, take your course on how to become a millionaire. Once you do, come back to me and then we'll talk. Right? She was selling a course on how to become a millionaire. She hadn't done anything, completely fraudulent, hypocritical, not practicing what you preach. And the hallmark of that good personal brand is I'm sharing what I'm doing. I'm sharing behind the scenes. Yeah. There are no secrets. Here's my checklist. If you Google me and the content I produce, I'm literally sharing, just like in this podcast, I'm literally sharing what has been working as I've been doing something for many, many, many years over and over again. I don't need to pray. I don't need to hope. I don't need to be clever every time. I know that gravity works. I know that certain principles work, and we teach it openly, and there's no fear. Just like a surgeon that does LASIK 10,000 times. Right. It's routine. It's not new and exciting and sizzling and never been done before in FOMO. Would you ever go to a surgeon, Yogg, that said, hey, for this surgery, I'm going to do something that's never been done before. It's going to be super innovative.
It's scary. Or would you like to think about it?
They said, like, yeah, this procedure, it's routine. We do it in this hospital 10,000 times a year. Yeah. You'll be in and out in 30 minutes. And here's exactly what happens. Boom, 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 right? You're going to have to take this one drug afterwards. You're going to have to rest for a day or two. You know, here's what happened. Like, it's routine. 99.99999% survival rate, you know, all very, very, very well done, right? Wouldn't you rather have that?
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, I checked all these parameters, you know, when I had my dad's heart surgery done. You know, it was a keyhole surgery. And the first thing that I looked for is these kind of factors. You know, the doctor had done about 2,600 surgeries in the last 3 months or so. And I was like, wow. Okay, yep. This is the person that I'm going to go to.
Exactly.
Awesome. So here's the final rapid fire question. If there is one book or one resource that you would recommend every B2B marketer or a sales professional to read, what would that be?
It's not a B2B marketing book. It's Principles by Ray Dalio. Yeah, who's the founder of the world's largest hedge fund. And Principles is about how to think logically and rationally and avoid bias so that you can listen to the most credible, believable opinion. So when you have to make a decision about who to hire or your product strategy or pricing or anything, you know, a co-founder, then you want to make sure you're changing careers. You want to, there's a lot of people that will give you advice, right? Your friends will give you advice and they're well-meaning, but they don't really have the credibility.
Right.
You want to listen to people that know what they're doing. And so as you advance through life and you experiment, you start a new company, you move into a new phase of your life where you have a child and you become a grandparent or what have you, The idea of principles is, how do you continue to advance and not be hit by your blind spots? And it is a difficult read if you read the whole thing, but there's a video series on YouTube. There is an app. There is a 15-minute little simple video. I'm a big, big fan of principles, because this is somebody who's applied it in his life and he can share it, and he's not trying to charge any money. You can get the free copy if you want, but absolutely, principles will be life-changing. And thus your life will continue to move up in a way that is logical and predictable. Your business will operate more like a machine instead of you being in the machine trying to do the work yourself, right? It's working on your business instead of in your business. I think it's fantastic. Have you heard of principles?
No, I haven't. I would really love to go back and check that. Amazing. All right. So that brings us towards the end of our podcast conversation today. And before I thank you and let you go, is there a parting message that you would like to share with our audience, Dennis?
What's going on in the world now, with the world of software eating the world and the pandemic and digital becoming the most important thing in every single company and tech becoming more complex, understand that there's a gap between kids coming out of school, especially college, and having workforce experience like what we have, which is a catch-22. Consider hiring apprentices, young adults who they don't have any experience in tech, but they're trainable. And you could train them out of, you could pull them out of our program where we've taught them the fundamentals of digital marketing so that we can bridge this gap. I don't believe that a lot of what we know as practitioners is going to be taught in school. I believe that there's a missing gap that will be filled eventually by the trade schools, by community college. And anyone who wants to participate in with us as we're training up these young adults to get some experience where they're going through our training, I imagine your company will have, everyone here listening here, your company will have a training program or wants to build a training program. I'd love to partner with you guys on that, because we want to train up that next generation of leaders. And it's good for us too, because in the war for talent, like I was mentioning, for people who are good at Kubernetes, there's so few of them that it's easier to train them up than it is to find one of the only 2,000 people or so that know how to use this technology properly. So there's an arbitrage opportunity, and you can do good. And we put this into this thing we call the digital marketing training system, and we've trained up thousands of young adults at no cost to them. So if you want to participate, or if you want to hire people from our program, I'd welcome working with you. Just ping me on LinkedIn.
That's such a beautiful message, Dennis, and thank you so much for sharing this. And if the listeners of the podcast would like to connect with you, what is the best place to find you?
For business, connect with me on LinkedIn. For social, connect with me on Twitter. Or if you're old-fashioned, you can email me at dennis@blitzmetrics.com.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Dennis. It was amazing talking to you, and I have so much nuggets of wisdom that I can take back from this episode.
Thank you, Yag. You're doing such an amazing thing, especially doing this for free and creating just so much goodwill that pays back to you. I imagine that Guy and Rand and Scott Brinker, John Miller, and me would love to share your content, the more you can package it up, because you're elevating their personal brand. And the best way to build your personal brand is to elevate others. So if you're listening here, follow the example of what Yag is doing.
Thank you so much for those kind words, Dennis. And for the listeners of the podcast, that's that from us for this episode. And until we connect with you the next time with another guest and another key topic, this is bye from me, Yag. Have a good day and take care.
Thanks for listening to the ABM Conversations podcast. Make sure you subscribe and share your comments with us. We're constantly looking for your feedback, thoughts, and suggestions to make the show more relevant to you.